Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'm your host. I'm a fitness enthusiast myself, and by chatting with guests, I hope to learn a lot myself, and hopefully you will too. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with our guests and listeners and discuss their amazing journeys. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TPOW Podcast. This is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more about us on manchamedia.com. On this episode, we're chatting with Vesna Jacob. She's a physiotherapist, author, accomplished Pilates teacher, and functional applied science specialist. She is also the owner of Vesna's Alta Cello, based in Kailash Hills. She has had an amazing journey that has brought her here, filled with personal struggle and great choices that she's made. Her holistic philosophy brings together the body, mind, and soul. Let's jump right in, guys. Hey, Vesna, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us and share some knowledge for all of our listeners here.
Thank you so much for having me, actually.
So we've already given our listeners a little bit of an introduction about you and background about you, but why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself in your own words?
I'm from Bosnia. I was raised and grew up in Bosnia, in the country that was back then known as Yugoslavia. And I was always athletic. I started as a young runner, and then I fell in love madly with basketball, and that was my first love. And the city club that, you know, in Europe, we have a city clubs that are grooming the younger generations to the senior generation.
Yeah.
It is not so in India, I believe, outside the cricket, right?
Yeah.
So my city club were European champions. So
wow.
Basketball, female basketball was very, very strong. And I loved the game and I worked very hard and I was a national level player and war started. War started in the early 90s, and I was just turning 14, 15 at that time, and I started playing with a senior team, so I was very perspective at that age.
Yeah.
And everybody was predicting a huge and big future, and then war started, and then everything changed. You know, all of a sudden, the priorities became something different. People were hiding, and we were living in under shelling, and there was no food and electricity. People were dying, lost some family members. I, at that time, started volunteering in the hospital. So I'm also a nurse. Later on, got a degree. So, but basketball was one thing that kept me sane. It was my inner anchor that I knew that for as long as I had basketball, I could face anything. Then I got the opportunity to play professionally in Germany. And I was like, wow, this is now my future is going to manifest itself. And I'm going to become this player that I always dreamed of. Yeah. And so I took off and went to Germany. And 1 week prior to my first professional contract, I had the first injury in my life. And it was bad. Pretty much everything that holds me together was ripped. And then I had emergency surgery. They underestimated the extent of the injury. They botched up my surgery. And 6 months down the line, I had to have another surgery. And I was told that I will never be able to walk without a limp. Not only that my professional career was over, but I will never be able to do any sports, even recreationally. I will not be able to wear high heels, sit cross-legged, or use my body the way I was used to.
Yeah, so not only professional, but a pretty major impact on like day-to-day life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now that 6 months while I was trying to recover was the moment I woken up after surgery, I know that I called a doctor and who came to check on me, and I was like, something is wrong. Something is not right in my knee. And they were like, just dismissed it like a talking crazy kid. You know,
yeah.
You just
yeah.
had a major operation.
Yeah.
And it is just, there was a lot of trauma in your knee. And this is just a part of the process. You're just, every single day, I had the feeling that something was just not right in my knee. And the more I exercised, the more I was trying to recover, actually, it was counterproductive, the more damage I was creating. So pretty much these 6 months were spent, they were very frustrating because
yeah.
you're trying as an athlete, you're trying to do something, you're pushing. And, you know, you have that mentality, you just need to push through, no pain, no gain, nonsense. Okay,
yeah.
It doesn't work like that. I was following that I just needed to push through. I just needed to kind of put my best effort. So I was exercising like a maniac, but the more I was doing, the worse I was getting.
Yeah.
So after 6 months, I was 20 kilos bigger to what I am right now. My right leg was completely atrophical.
And that's where the injury was?
This is where the injury was. With a right knee perpetually swollen and in pain. Wow. I had only 30 degrees of a range of motion. So it was a very, very minimal what I could do. My entire weight load was on my left leg. So my left knee got damaged. My left hip got damaged. I got bulging discs. I got problems with my cervical area. And I was in perpetual pain, and I was just miserable.
Yeah.
So after 6 months, the doctor said, hey, maybe there is something wrong with your knee. Maybe there is something didn't happen properly, so we need to operate second time. So they operated second time, and they realized that the fixers they have placed within the knee were actually grinding the joint. So not only my ligaments didn't heal, but there was additional damage. My entire cartilage within the knee was ruined.
So it was making it worse.
It was making it much worse.
Wow.
So, and the body, as it's the body is amazingly smart. Body is trying to heal you all the time. So because the body was perceiving there was perpetual damage, body started producing more calcium. So the knee started calcifying, started growing together.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was beginning of this part of a journey.
Yeah.
As a young athlete, I was always going early to bed. I was never touched when the kids were experimenting with various things.
Yeah.
I never
You were disciplined.
Touched
you had goals. Yeah.
I trained double as hard than any of my teammates. And I was like, I said, I've done everything right in my life. And everything went wrong. I survived the war. And I was here supposed to kind of get my destiny to manifest itself. And
one week away from your contract.
And I'm doing worse.
Yeah.
I'm doing worse because I was coming from the country that had a war. So I got stuck in the bureaucratic as a refugee.
Yeah.
Because I didn't sign the contract, so I couldn't legalize my stay, so I was a refugee. And
you didn't get the medical benefits that you would have gotten as a contract professional.
That is the reason why this happened with the surgery the way it did as well. So that took a while to sink in because, as I said, basketball was my anchor. And then all of a sudden that was taken away
from you.
And it was such a jarring experience. I was in a vacuum. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't. I didn't know what to do with myself. And then that is when the entire trauma from the war, from the suffering, from losing friends, family members. It's kind of all
piled on together.
Piled together in a one bucket. And I was like, you know what? I need to keep my sanity. What am I going to do next? So I was like, I need to yank myself the other. My entire life I was disciplined. I said, let me go the other side. So I went, started smoking, started drinking, started partying. Went completely opposite
direction
to where I was. But that was my escape from reality.
Yeah.
And then those few hours when I would actually get the time, usually around 3 a.m., when you get the time to spend with yourself, I was like, crap, where am I heading? What am I doing? What am I supposed to do? So that carried on for maybe a few months. I was also fortunate that all of this had happened very fast and realizations kind of happened very fast. That usually take people many years.
Much more time, absolutely.
To realize. Yeah. So that certain, I guess, inner guidance I always had, I just didn't know I had it.
Yeah.
So one morning I woken up feeling particularly bad about myself. And then I had 20 kilos extra to carry around.
Yeah.
I was feeling bad and I was treated the way I was feeling. Because we also attract certain things.
Energies,
exactly, into our lives. So I got up and I realized that I'm on the verge settling for that life. And I saw myself, I said, you know what? Maybe that I thought that I could do better and be better and live better life. Maybe it's outside my reach. Maybe I'm not meant to do anything great. Maybe I'm not meant to be anyone great. Maybe this is it. Maybe I am this failed athlete, stroke, refugee, stuck in this situation like many other people. And that was the first time I actually heard my inner guidance. And that was the first time I meditated in my life. And I kind of sat because I had no idea what it was, right? So I kind of sat down and tried to get very quiet. And it was just something within that told me that I can get better, that this is not the life that I'm meant to live, that this is not who I am ultimately, that this is a reactive me.
Yeah.
But that is not who I truly am, that I'm not living the life true to myself.
Yeah, it's a small side effect of what you've been through right now.
Yes, in a way. And that my body has ability to heal and has ability to get out of that space. So what I've done is I was like, okay, I need to make a choice here. Am I going to disregard this voice as something silly and something that I'm just trying to console myself? Or am I going to catch hold of this voice and to take it as a truth? And I made a choice. And I've been listening to that voice since. That point of life was, and the choice I made ultimately, we always make choices.
Yeah.
We don't realize we have a choice. We always have a choice.
Yeah.
So the circumstantial stuff that happens to you in life, it was a doctor's fault, but it could have been a shelling.
Yeah.
It could have been somebody's car. It could have been bad fall. It doesn't matter what. The life deals you challenge. What do you make out of that situation is what's going to determine your life.
Future,
it's going to determine your future. It's going to either help you find the truth within yourself, or you're going to get into reactive state.
Yeah.
Now it's been 20 years or so since, right? I was like, okay, if I have a potential to heal, I need to figure out how.
Yeah.
I was very careful not to give myself a huge goals. I never set a target that, oh, I have to reach over there, because I realized a pitfall in that. Because the task at hand seemed so huge that I would give up before even attempting it. If I would start thinking, oh, I have to lose 20 kilos and then I want to do this and I want to be able to do that, I would be like...
So were you breaking those tasks, like that mammoth task, into smaller tasks and smaller goals?
No, I still don't do that.
Then?
What I do is I take every step the way it comes.
Okay.
And I adjust and align myself every moment, because the goals are setting certain expectations. And we are all competitive and we all want to reach. And then the trip, and that is when your ego gets in the game, because your ego is not going to be humble enough to tell you, no, maybe you have trying too much than you can chew.
Yeah.
And then you're failing to realign yourself accordingly because of that pressure of a task. And you're treading a very dangerous path. That is when injuries happen or a failure. And then when you face that, that is going to trigger all of your demons within.
That's very interesting, because, you know, a lot of the people that we talk to about, you know, making big changes in their life that have had transformations, whether it's, you know, physical or mental in nature, any kind of big obstacle they've kind of, you know, crossed to be successful, to be healthy, it's usually been either, you know, having that big goal in mind and constantly inspiring and motivating themselves, or it's been that they've, you know, broken that bigger goal into smaller goals and kind of set timelines for themselves. Are you saying that that's not the approach you took? Even if you didn't look at losing 20 kilos as the goal, how did you get from there to where you are now?
Well, I started studying. To me, always, knowledge is the base of everything. The more knowledge you have, the stronger. I'm still studying.
Yeah.
I'm always studying something, okay? There is always something new to be learned. And everyone around you give you opportunity to learn something if you choose to be open to learning, right? So I was like, okay, obviously, if a little voice within me is telling me I can get better, let me see if I can get every day a little better to what I was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Let me, if I make mistake, to say, okay, what can I do to prevent mistake of happening again? Because again, everything is giving you opportunity to learn. It just means that if I keep making the same mistake, that I'm not learning something that is presenting itself. So I need again to realign myself. Everything starts with you, ends with you.
Yeah.
And it's all about kind of trying, feeling it, backing off, readjustment.
Yeah.
Let's move on. readjust, move on. My bachelor's degree is in political science.
Amazing.
So that is what my kind of what I was
starting off
towards.
With. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my serious job in my past life. I split my life into like, this is the fourth life I'm living within this one, right? I have a life before war, then I have a life during the war, then I have a Germany and the recovery, and then I have a India.
Yeah.
So all these lives, they're different paths and different stages of my life.
Yeah.
So anyways, I started pretty much any exercising system, diet regime, anything that was out there, I would try it. I would try it. So I started a bit with doing some weights and doing some recovery programs, then try with a certain few diets, got hold of pretty. And then I started noticing that nothing was really working for me fully. Everything had things that were really good for me, and there were things that were not working for me. So I was like, okay, what do I do with this now? I said, I will readjust. Because again, we are so used to, and that has been also learning on completely different level for me, is that one shoe does not fit all.
Yeah, you have to kind of customize it to yourself.
We are so unique. And yet, people, whoever is following one thing or one line of thought, is like, no, this is the way. There is no one way. Each and every way can get you where you need to go. You just need to keep on modifying, aligning it with you at that point of time. So in the meantime, I started losing weight. I became a little more mobile. I was doing much better to what doctors told me I would be able to do. I also started studying a bit more from the understanding of the movement, because as an athlete, you do what your coach is telling you.
Yeah.
You don't
ask. You're listening to your doctors. You're listening to people that are giving you the advice.
Yeah, we have a saying, if a coach tells you you jump, you don't ask why, you ask how high.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's pretty much that. As an athlete, you don't question.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I need to go on the other side. I need to question. Why was I making to do certain things? What was the agenda behind that? So that was the other side. In the meantime, I realized that I needed to do some emotional healing, that I was harboring way too much anger and way too much of disappointment. I had a fortune to have a misfortune very early on in life, which again was the opportunity to grow. But yes, and at that point of time, I didn't know how to protect my inner space from the environment. Because you see, in all honesty, your inner space should not get disturbed with anything that's happening outside.
Yeah, because you control that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but at that point of time, I didn't know that and I didn't know how to do it. Mind you, I'm coming also from Eastern Europe, and the whole concept of spirituality, and that was something for the echoes.
That doesn't exist there.
It does exist, but it's under the wraps. It's not really talked about, or you cannot be considered as a serious, intelligent, science-based person if you're talking and accepting
about
that aspect.
About spirituality,
Exactly. So that was always kind of swept under carpet. For me, it was always there, but it's not something that I would put in the forefront.
That people would publicly talk about.
Exactly.
Okay, fair.
So I realized that in order to support that emotional healing, I needed to remove myself from the environment because I was having too many bad memories from that space.
Yeah. And so, this was in Germany?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I decided to go back to Bosnia. In Bosnia, I started working for U.S. Army.
Yeah.
I was a translator. I was also part of a security detail team. So that was my serious job. And in the meantime, on the hobby, I was always in and out of gym. I started conditioning soldiers. I got their certifications.
Wow.
I was doing classes with soldiers. I was organizing basketball tournaments.
That's I actually didn't know that about you. That's really badass that you were actually training U.S. Army soldiers.
Yeah. Oh, I would make them cry. And I took a great pride in that I was like, I would shout at them and I put my foot down and say, my grandmother would do better than that. I mean, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I still carry a whip here and there, but I approach my gentler. I have a much gentler approach
now.
Now, at that point of time, I was able to, let's say, do some squatting. I could do some lunges. I could do, however, it would come with a price tag. I could do everything up to a point, and there was a price tag attached to it. So it was my choice, did I want to pay it or not, which meant if I would overdo my legs or I would do something that is a little more strenuous, which means if I went a little bit deeper into squat, my knee would hurt for the next few days. Or it would get slightly swollen. But I thought I was on top of the world because that was so much better than I could have hoped.
Yeah. Where you were being told that you wouldn't be able to walk properly.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, look at me, look at me. So that was the ego trip, right? Till one day, one master sergeant, Whitehead, so he was like, you know, I keep on seeing you doing so many things, but like you're doing everything wrong. I was like, what do you mean? I said, I had this injury, and I started explaining. He's like, no. That's all wrong. You're using too much of your periphery. You're not using your core. Your glutes are underpowered. I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah. I'm doing so much better. So he was the person who introduced me to Pilates. And that was the next kind of redefining moment in my life. Pilates changed my perspective.
So some of our listeners may not know, you know, what Pilates is and, you know, what are the basic foundations of that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Pilates is a system of exercise invented by Joseph Hubertus Pilates, who happened to be a German, a century ago, who was very sick as a child. And his opinion was, it seems that only healthy people can do the movement, while unhealthy people are the ones who need the movement more.
More than anybody else, yeah.
So he started playing with that idea as his guiding line. And he believed that the body is a unit where the core, the middle, the center of your power, so your abdominal, your pelvic floor muscles, your muscles of the glutes, of your hip flexors, they're the ones that are controlling, should be actually controlling the body, and they're the most important. And for as long as your core is strong, the periphery, which means your limbs, your shoulders, are going to be much better aligned, and hence you will be increasing your immunity system, you will not be having a back issues, and you will be moving better. That is pretty much in a nutshell what Pilates is. A lot of people are mixing it with a yoga, and the Pilates is a very physical. The meditative part of Pilates you get as a consequence is not a purpose. Yoga's purpose is
that's
actually...
That's an added benefit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yoga, again, people are now using yoga more as a physical exercise, which is doing a huge injustice to yoga. That's not what yoga's purpose is.
No, there's a lot of people talking about how the fusion of yoga into various things is actually ruining the foundation of what yoga really is about, right?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I like a context of things.
Yeah.
To me, whether something is okay or not okay depends who's the person, what is that you wish to do. In my mind, yoga is a complete system. Their physical aspect of it is just one aspect of it. To me, yoga is much more exciting as a system from the esoteric point of view. Which means the meditation, exploring a deeper side of yourself, achieving nirvana, so higher consciousness. But again, we have a very competitive mind. That
yeah, that's what you were going
that.
Back to the goal setting bit and the ego bit that comes
exactly,
in.
Exactly, because it's like, oh, that sounds so awesome. Yeah, it might sound awesome for somebody, but you do that, you're going to pull your back and throw your back for a 3 weeks.
And you're going to blame it on the exercise, or you're going to blame
exactly.
it on...
Exactly, it's not exercise's fault. It is not meant for you. At that point of time. So that is when I was introduced to Pilates. And to me, it was like a matrix, like it was a missing missing
something
link
that brought
for...
the pieces together for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I understood why I got hurt. I understood actually that realization came later on, but I started understanding what was going on and why did I get so badly injured.
Yeah.
I spent around almost 2 years studying, and I was blessed to have him also locked in the camp for 2 years. So I had
so
a private tutor,
well.
Private tutor for that many years. And just when I started thinking, this is something I could do for real, as a like a real job. Around that time, I met my future husband. We met before Facebook time. We met online. Somebody had discovered this site, hotornot.com. and we spent like hours.
That's a major throwback right there.
Hours. Yeah. Okay, exactly. Yeah. Hours grading people, giving them notes. So, but to cut it short, one of the guys in the team was like, let's put our photos and see who's the
who gets
there.
The best ratings. Yeah.
So that is how I ended up
got
on
into the platform,
that
yeah.
was my anything first time I posted anything online, yeah. right? And back then I was in a different, I didn't want anything of mine.
Out in the public domain.
That has changed drastically, tremendously from then. So to cut it short, that's how we met. I was always fascinated with India. I always wanted to come and visit and see Taj and the snake charmers and Maharajas. I had a very romantic
idea. Get the full tourist experience, basically.
Plus, I also thought that everybody was doing yoga. Everybody was kind of walking around in a state of nirvana. I genuinely thought that here everybody is infused with spirituality, yeah. and it was a bit of a like, huh?
Do you still believe that?
I've been living here 14 years.
Yeah, so I think that
India
is a no.
has everything. Yeah. No, yes and no.
And no, yeah, I'm just kidding.
India
just
has
kidding.
Everything. So after around 5 months of talking, Anurag came to Bosnia. We spent 3 weeks together. And 2 months later, I came here for a New Year's. And the moment I landed in Delhi and we went to India Gate, I had that little voice that just told me that this is where I'm meant to be, that there was something for me here and there is something that I'm supposed to do here, yeah. It was just very, very strong feeling that this is where I belong. On that trip, Anurag proposed to me. I said, this is where I'm meant to be anyway. I was
two
in love
signs
anyways,
altogether, yeah.
But that was a very also good way of coming
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So I went back home, resigned my job, rented my flat, told my mom and dad, I said, guys, I'm getting married and moving to India in a month's time. It took me 33 days to just do formalities.
Back up and come back, yeah.
And that is when I sat with myself and said, what am I doing? What am I doing? Because, you know, I had a settled life and I was doing fine. And I kind of started planning that I could do something serious with yeah. fitness because it wasn't my line of work per se, right? Yeah. And I said, what am I going to do there? I mean, what am I doing? And again, I sat with myself and I was like, it was just that there was something for me here.
Yeah.
That this is where I needed to be. So I packed my bags and I came to India.
Yeah. So multiple things kind of brought you together to actually do the move. The whole, you know, exploring fitness as a career and future option, Anurag, and also that sign that you got being here, that this might be where
exactly,
you want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because and this as a career happened again completely organically.
Yeah.
It happened without, because I got married, came here, started enjoying my life, getting to know. I had no pressure to work, but per se, it was, I said, let me get used to
being in this
here,
new place. Yeah,
in
absolutely.
In this new place, because it's different.
Yeah, it's very different.
It is as diagonally different yeah. as it gets. Yeah. And yet, I never felt as a stranger. I never felt as a foreigner. I do look very foreign.
But you don't feel it at all?
Not at all.
That's great.
Never did. As if there was a little spot cut
that's
in my shape and size and waiting.
Awesome.
And I just like, okay, I came and now I'm here.
Yeah.
So I started going to the gym, started practicing. Few people saw me doing my practice and they were like, what is that? And I was like, it's Pilates. At that point of time, nobody heard of Pilates here. So I started teaching few of my family friends.
So at this point, did you have, you know, your own space or your own equipment or, you know, how were you kind of training all these people?
Well, some people I would go home. I first started as yeah. like going to people's
house,
homes
yeah.
and doing that. Then I also rented a place in City Fort in auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have it a few times a week and I would carry all the mats and everything with
together.
Me. So it was
wow.
like a big movement
yeah.
back and
yeah.
forth and ship it. Then I also managed to get one reformer soon on. Somebody was selling a secondhand reformer,
yeah.
so I got hold of that.
That
so
yeah.
I set it up in one room at my home. Along the same line, I started realizing that I enjoy working with much smaller groups of people or
as
just
a
one-on-one
yeah.
opposed to large groups. With the large groups, I like doing workshop, and
yeah.
that is something that I'm still doing that way.
Excellent.
because I started understanding how much alignment is important. It is not what you do, but how you do it.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to, you're having all these people doing a mass classes and 15, 20 people in it and the group sessions. And while the energy is great, again, we have a very competitive mind. Yeah. And while the plus side is that you can sustain the effort because
there's an environment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The minus side is very often people miss the point when they need to pull back and self-preserve.
It's not a long-term solution.
It's not
solution.
Sustainable. Yeah, sustainable. So what you then have, you have a 20-year-old somethings who are very passionate about routine. They get to 30, say, I'm done.
Yeah.
Either they're physically injured or they got enough of that.
Yeah, they're tired
that
of it.
Pushing because you have the world then and the obligations to push you. And I don't like that because movement is something you're meant to do your entire life.
Yeah, that's actually what we want to kind of, you know, do through this podcast as well, right? We're trying to explain to people that it's a journey. It's not something that you do for 3 months or twice a week. This is something that you will need to do for the rest of your life to stay healthy, to stay fit, to stay mentally and physically, you know, have a specific level of well-being. And now you're here, you know, you have your own studio, you have multiple columns you've written, there's books you've written, you've trained, you know, individuals that are taking part in pageants, you've done it all. And so, you know, just for some of our listeners, you know, I know a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs in the fitness space. They're very passionate people, not necessarily people that are doing this. You know, they're similar to you that they've fallen into this in an organic manner, right? They loved running, they loved fitness, and they got into it. You know, how have you, I know you mentioned that you did it, done it organically, but how are you balancing all of these things together? How are you doing it in this badass manner where you have your own studio? There's all these people that you're affecting and whose lives you're changing. What is some essential stuff that you have to do personally to make sure that, you know, all these touch points are being maintained well?
I feel what is really important is to ask yourself, what are you in for?
Yeah.
All right. I am in a situation that I have to work for my living.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, given my background, I am not in a situation to take this up as a hobby and then my essentials are taken care of which is somebody else's situation,
mine. Yeah, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So you first need to make a clarity within your head. What are you in for? Is it a hobby or it's a business?
Yeah.
If you're in it for a business, then there is another thing that you need to be clear with you. Are you in for the money or you're in for the passion? And how do you balance the money part with the passion bit? Because if you're running a business and you're in it for the money, then you need to put your personal likes, dislikes, sometimes even beliefs aside. In order to earn money.
Yeah.
And that there should be a crystal clear
distinction
within yourself. It is what it is.
Yeah.
If you're talking business has no emotion. It has show me the money.
Yeah.
This
Objective. Is
my loss sheet, profit sheet, and move on.
Yeah.
If you want to have your peace of mind and to do things aligned with yourself, you need to make clear that then the money aspect is not going to be as much as you might have earned.
Yeah.
If you have taken different paths.
So that can't be the driving force. That has to be secondary to aligning yourself and being passionate.
So that is the peace that I made with myself. I like spending time with my family in Bosnia because of my daughter, because I also have a 10-year-old. So I made my choices that what is important to me, it's important for my child to know the language, to spend the time, be
there
part of the culture, which means a certain amount of time in a year I have to spend abroad, which means when I'm not here, I'm not earning or I'm doing something while I'm over there and I'm realigning that. One of the biggest challenges for me is to create a team that is big enough that can accommodate the demand that I'm having without suffering on the quality.
Yeah.
And I'm very particular.
Yeah.
So that has been an ongoing challenge. But from the talking to a people, that is what pretty much everybody, how do you have a team that is maintaining quality and is sustainable? To me, it takes around 1 year to groom a teacher to the level that I wish them, wherever they're starting.
Anybody who's working with you, to get them to align themselves
with
your beliefs.
You know how many girls I have gotten married and they moved out and they went for their higher studies. Yeah. So it is also knowing that while you can keep on doing this, that still life is going to throw you a curveball. Yeah. And every now and then you will be like, oh my God, now I have to start
again. All over again. Yeah.
But it's a part of the game.
So to summarize, you're saying that, you know, obviously having, you know, knowing in your mind from the start, what is driving you? Is this something that you need to sustain or is it like a hobby? If it is something that's sustaining, then you need to know what you're going to sacrifice, what the trade-offs will be, when you're going to be willing to let go of quality, quantity. And like, I love the point that you made that, you know, going home to Bosnia with your daughter is important, showing her that culture, that heritage is important. So for you as an entrepreneur, scaling this into, say, $1 million, $2 million business may not be the goal, right? You want to impact lives, you want to grow in your own way, and that's what you've decided.
See, we all sometimes are having those points, not of doubt, but of a conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
Conflict between where you are, where you wish to be, or what are your aspirations, what mm-hmm. are your possibilities, and then you get stuck somewhere yeah. between. All right. So when you become clear what is that you want and how do you want to achieve it and what is acceptable way and non-acceptable way, it then you can say, you know what, but I have chosen that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I cannot be on the point and find this conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you might choose not to betray your own principles or your beliefs to reach that.
And again, yeah. it's we all are different. Everybody has their different yeah. motives. So yeah. I'm not going to say, oh, if you're chasing money, that's bad. It's not bad. That is your path.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is my path and I'm content, but I cannot compare apples and oranges.
So just to jump a little bit into the Indian wellness ecosystem, you know, it's not like you've just entered this. You've literally been here during its absolute boom period. You've been here when this market has grown, when people have started getting more aware. There are more companies, there are more studios, there are more food companies, yoga, meditation, everything that is happening now has happened in the time that you've also been in India. So you've experienced this new wave of entrepreneurship, of awareness. What are some things that you like about the Indian wellness ecosystem? And what are some things that you think can improve from, you know, a business perspective and from like a user perspective as well?
I think the biggest problem here is standardization. There is no standardization yeah. of any sorts anywhere on the fitness and wellness aspect.
Yeah.
Because again, I'm a holistic fitness personality, so I'm very much into wellness. And yet wellness, fitness is not necessarily considered wellness
yeah.
which is kind of totally twisted.
Yeah.
Or medicine is not part of wellness, which is another twisted thing. So as I say, I just came from the Wellness Conclave. I was yeah. one of the speakers there. And one of the doctors who's now dabbling with the functional medicine, she was like, you know what? Medicine is not considered part of wellness.
Yeah.
Because medicine is considered as curing illness,
yeah.
but not promoting wellness.
Yeah. So people don't look at it as prevention. They look at it only as cure.
Exactly. And on this side, on the wellness, you have body, mind, soul, and yet fitness is not part of that.
Yeah.
Which is to me kind of totally makes no sense,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then you have a physiotherapy, which is again a third aspect, has nothing to do with it.
What do you think are some ways that people can actually figure out, you know, what is a fad, what is not a fad, and how to actually recognize which studio or which fitness professional is, you know, the one that can actually help you on your journey?
Now, it is informative choices and informative decisions because, again, not everything is for everyone.
Yeah.
Movement is for everybody, but not every movement is for everyone. So you start first on where you're standing at this point of time. What is your history profile? What is your injury profile?
Yeah.
What is your movement experience? What kind of background you're coming from? What is your association and relationship to movement?
Yeah.
Because some people thrive to give them music. Some people prefer something quieter.
Yeah.
And both have their own merits and values. Okay?
Absolutely.
Once you understand where you coming from, it's like, okay, this is where I'm coming from. Where am I right now? What is my lifestyle? What is my stress levels? What is my outside life? Because if you're exposed to a long-term stress, doing something super stressful in the gym is going to add to your cortisol levels,
yeah.
which is going to actually promote more tiredness and injury. It's going to injure you.
Yeah.
If you're exposed to the short level of stress, doing something very strong physically is going to level it out. So you also need to understand that about your body. And these are the things that people miss out on.
Yeah.
And importance. What is your sleep pattern? What is your lifestyle like? So what kind of life do you lead?
Yeah. Outside the gym, not necessarily in there.
In the gym, yeah. You're 1 hour, two hours at the best.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a super focused and you have plenty of time at your hands and you're that is your motto, you may spend 2.5 hours. Other than that, no one spends more than that. And even that may not be every day. You live your life outside the gym. So ideally, your gym time would be the time when you are planting the seeds of something that is going to sprout into something bigger.
Yeah.
So your gym should be balancing out your lifestyle. If you're having a very stressed life, if you're having lots of running around late night, you need something that is going to counter that.
Yeah. So set the foundation.
You always.
Yeah.
Then how well are you moving? How aware of your body you are? Because if you know how to move, if you understand the stresses in making, if you can stop it at will and prevent injury, you need to understand what is your life at that point of time. Let's say you have a young child.
Yeah.
Your fitness regime is going to be different to when you have no children.
No child,
Because again, your pace is going to be different. Your stress levels are going to be different. Your body will require. What your body is capable of doing in your 20s is different to what it can do in 30s or 40s. Now we are talking here relatively. If I am going very strong with my body, I know that my recovery time is going to be longer.
Yeah.
And I need to respect that. So if you do not respect your body, all of that, then the goal settings, what you're going to do, that is all ego that's going to put you out of the game for some time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's not worth it. So once you kind of assess all of that, you can create a roadmap how my fitness should look like. I may enjoy dancing. I may enjoy. So can I combine the dance movements with you? Because body doesn't know it is in the gym.
Yeah.
You can do a fitness anywhere. I mean, I keep going into hotel rooms and do silly things, or I do stuff in the bus or in a tube or
anywhere. Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Body recognizes the movement.
Yeah.
If I don't have a time, which is an oxymoron because this is my job, and yet I sometimes struggle to find the time for my own fitness.
Practice. Yeah, absolutely.
So whenever I have a little pockets of time, I keep on doing because, again, body recognizes the movement.
Yeah.
So once you understand that, you can plan accordingly. And then when you say, okay, now I feel stronger, fitter, let me try
something
that, what I would like. It would be silly. It seemed like saying, okay, I want to climb Everest, so let's go climbing tomorrow. You can't.
Yeah.
You need to condition your body for that effort. So it's same with anything you do when it involves the body.
It's a journey that requires effort.
And you need to kind of figure out where am I standing.
Yeah.
If I have an issue somewhere and I want to be up there, I mean, I need to do like few steps.
Yeah, absolutely.
In between.
And what are some sources that you would recommend? Obviously, hopefully our listeners, you know, think of our podcast as one of those sources where they can get great information. But otherwise, you know, are there any specific publications or specific websites? Or, you know, I know I want to talk to you a little bit about your books as well. You know, are there places that you rely and trust in terms of the quality of the information they're putting out for people to actually get knowledge and understanding from?
Well, if you're doing a proper search and you are taking interest, you are going to find the quality of content as well.
Yeah.
So just something that has a huge number of followers is not necessary quality of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would first like to start with that because that is a trend that I've noticed.
Yeah, people think that this must be legitimate if it's got a lot of followers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are also living in a very visual world. So if we see somebody looking good, we're like, that person must know what they're talking about. Well, that's also not true. That's also not true because
absolutely. The
level of knowledge with your physicality and if you found the way what works for you may not be something that works for
and you may
someone
not be able to replicate it for somebody else.
Exactly. So as I say, is go by your gut feeling. Go by your gut feeling is that if something makes sense with you, resonate and then set it through the filter of your own, because most of people who come injured to me,
Yeah.
Right? I was like, haven't you noticed anything? What was happening? He said, yeah, I was kind of feeling weird and it was not really making sense and it was not working for me. But he or she told me, no.
Yeah. They didn't follow their instinct.
So we all have that when we look in retrospect that, you know what? That wasn't maybe the best for me.
Option, yeah.
So I would always go by that your inner guidance is nobody can feel for you.
Yeah.
Nobody can feel what you're feeling. And you need to be working with the people who are not going to disregard that. So if you just go with that you want to work, if it's a one-on-one training, you need to work with somebody that if you say, hey, something is not working for me, that person is going to say, okay, why don't you tell me what do you feel?
Yeah.
Or that tell me what doesn't make sense and let me explain it to you. All right. So that would be as a one-on-one. Secondly, I'm finding genetic testing a very good way to realign yourself as well.
That's great. Yeah, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, a bunch of companies propped up and there was a lot of that going around. You know, what is the impact that could have on somebody's, you know, knowledge of their body? And...
It helps your ego.
Yeah?
It helps your ego. Because, I have been working with one young guy and the struggle with him, and he's been working with my husband, actually. And the struggle with him was that he had a very high injury profile. Very high injury profile. Again, reasons, there are reasons. But being a male and comparing himself to all his peers, he's like, no, I want to lift weights and I want to do this and I want to do all this functional stuff that seems functional, but it's not really functional because functional science is something else. And we've been trying to explain to him. So it's always like two steps forward, one step back. We reduced his injuries by a lot. He's mobile. He's moving better. But his sense of what he should be doing in the gym by comparison to his peers, it's always a struggle. So it's always like I have to arm twist you to do what I'm asking you to, because I know it's better
for you.
And luckily he has that trust and in us and what we do
absolutely.
That he will, but not without grunting. And to
there will be a part of him that will still kind of want
exactly,
to do the
can we do this?
Yeah.
All right. Only after we have done his genetic testing, he became on the same page, because in his genes, he has a very high risk of injury profile, particularly ligaments, tendonitis, and there is a problem metabolizing fat, which means that he needs to put much more effort to burn the fat. And recovery rates are very slow and does not respond well to the power stuff, but more to endurance stuff.
Interesting.
And that was such an eye-opener for him, because I knew it. But to get somebody on the same page, because we subconsciously always compare ourselves to people around us. So I found that as a great scientific way. It's like, here. After that, it was like, okay, when are we doing recovery stuff?
And that's amazing that it's that in-depth that it can tell you all of these things.
It can. It tells you about predisposition. I have a higher risk injury profile, which again, I didn't know. I now know it. And pretty much my entire conditioning happened to be perfectly aligned with what my profile is. See, the genetic, and again, we are just learning. We are in diapers when it comes to genetic training, but understanding your body a little deeper and what predispositions you have for can help you align yourself better, particularly if something does not really make sense
to you.
Right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Because now, whether or not genes are going to express themselves as XYZ, that's a combination of a lifestyle, of circumstances, stress levels, etc., etc. But at least if you know, like my body has a low production of collagen, which again, I got it my entire life. Whenever I see collagen stuff, I've been instinctively taking it because I felt this is what I needed. And, you know, to see that on the test is like, this is interesting. Okay, so not everyone is that attuned. Not everybody has that experience. So why would you wait 20 years of experience?
If there's a report that can tell you
now. If
there
is something that can help you. Kind of understand the way your body functions a little better.
That's great. You know, I didn't actually know at all that it was that in depth and it could give you so much analysis about yourself that you could actually use to make, you know, it's a very actionable report that tells you, you know, which way you should be going.
And we like to see things written, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people trust it more. And the minute you put some science behind it, people are more likely to kind of, you know, trust that a little bit more. So jumping into a little bit, you know, about the functional applied science bit, I wanted to touch upon that as well as, you know, your holistic healing philosophy, you know, the hypnotherapy that you brought in. How do you use the functional applied science, the 3D functional Pilates that you've created, and the hypnotherapy to kind of have this holistic wellness experience that you have created for people that are working with you, or, you know, that you're putting in your books or the columns that you've written? How does that all come together?
After a while with dabbling with Pilates, at that time I was already in India, I heard of PowerPlate, which is a vibrating technology, and it just made sense to me.
Yeah.
Because again, I see something and I see potential of it.
Yeah.
It's always that sort of an instinct that that has been with me when it comes to movement. So I brought it to India and I became a master trainer for PowerPlate for India. And I went to US to study. And I went to mentorship with Athletes Performance, which is now Exos, which is the top leading sports facility in the world for conditioning athletes.
Wow.
Main NLF topics came from the academy. They're working with the New Zealand rugby team. So it's a high profile athletic performance. Because again, even though I work mainly with recreational athletes,
yeah,
still the sports kind of that side is always there.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Anyways, I went there and here I was again, my thinking I'm super fit and I'm doing so much better. And within like 2 days, I pulled my groin. And I was like, why did I pull my groin now? I got back to India. I completed the training and all of that. And I was like, something is missing. And that is when I realized that Pilates is not fully functional.
Yeah.
That was, again, another stepping
stone. Another learning, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. I said the Pilates makes perfect sense in terms of observing body as a unit, but something is missing because Pilates is in a classical sense, and I do classical form of mm-hmm. Pilates, and which later on became 3D functional Pilates, is done on the floor. Now, floor is not a functional space.
Yeah.
You're not meant to spend your entire day on the floor.
On the floor, yeah.
So while on the ground, conditioning has a huge benefits because it takes the gravitational aspect to another level, et cetera, et cetera. However, in order to make you fully functional, I need to bring you upright. So I was like, how can I now take this Pilates story into the functional space? Taking Pilates upright without really understanding why am I doing it? It just made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I noticed that people around me were getting even better results. In the meantime, I'm also a physiotherapist because my kind of studying kind of is always on
the
side.
Stop,
I'm
right?
always
you never stop studying.
Doing something,
yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Because I want that more knowledge,
yeah.
Right? So when my daughter was born 10 years ago, that is when I actually started sensing energy as a physical form. That is when I started again getting more onto the spiritual side. I said there is something missing in my life. And that was that spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
So started studying different meditations, done inner engineering, done later on done art of living, got involved with Reiki. I'm a master Reiki healer. And only when she was born, I realized that all women from my mom's side of the family always had the heightened senses. My mom always had predictive dreams, which she was petrified of. And coming from the part of the world we are coming,
yeah.
We don't necessarily talk about it.
Yeah.
Or if you talk that you're hearing voices, I mean, there is diagnosis for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went to medical school. I spent 1 year studying anatomy. So again, you don't mix certain
things yeah,
together, right?
Yeah.
So only when my daughter was born and I started kind of questioning is because all of a sudden I sense people's energy.
Yeah.
I could touch it. I can, if I do meditation, I get messages and I have very strong intuition and I start telling people things about themselves for which there is no way I could know.
Yeah, things they haven't told you.
And that is when I went home and I said, what's happening? And that is when I came to know that all the women from my mom's side of the family have a heightened gift. It was just something you wouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
So that is how the spiritual, and it took me quite some time to come to term, because that is when I realized that it was always part of me. It was always there. It's just that I needed to be in India for it to kind of spread its wings, and that I could speak about it without people telling me I should go and check in somewhere and they should lock me and throw away a key.
Yeah, people are more open to that here.
So, and that's such an amazing thing. Yeah. And that's, I think that is the most amazing thing about India, is the openness toward things that are not necessarily easily perceivable.
Understood also,
So that was happening along line, which was always my personal thing. When I went to Wim Hans, my mentor is Dr. Shukla, who's a psychiatrist. So I've been studying under him, and I've gone through regression and through full course. So I'm a certified teacher of a hypnotherapy. And that is when I realized how much of our consciousness is driven by our subconscious self. And if we can dip into that and create the changes so that we can manifest why people can't stop smoking, why people can't stop eating, why people can't stop, it's because subconsciously their linkages are so strong. If we unravel that, people can manifest much better.
Yeah, they can change things up.
So that is what was happening on that side. So the spiritual part took one side with the Reiki and healing and the meditating, which I still do. Yeah. And there is getting messages, because having that ability of being a medium.
Yeah. And then the functional angle.
And then in all of that, this functional Pilates.
Yeah.
So approximately 3.5 years ago, I went to China for some seminar, and the presenter there started talking about functional applied science, as that body should be looked as a unit during the movement.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is it. In that one sentence, I recognized the potential that was now missing link. After the Pilates that I started taking upright, I didn't understand why was I taking it upright.
Yeah.
So off I went to US again to study. It is the Grace Institute of Functional Applied Science. And it is that the body always moves in all three planes of motion.
Yeah.
Because what guides the movement is mass, momentum, direction, and gravitational force. And when we are observing somebody's movement, we cannot observe it in a non-functional space.
Yeah.
So if I want to really know what is going on in your body, I need to put you through the movements that are creating a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you're having a back issue or a knee issue, that is not the cause. That is the manifestation of an issue. Your root cause is probably somewhere in your foot or in your hip. And understanding how different body parts correlate and communicate with each other and influence that movement.
That's what's important.
And that was, to me, it's like, this is it.
Yeah, that's the aha moment.
It added the reason behind why was I doing it.
So practically you were already performing this, but the theoretical bit you weren't sure
of. I didn't know why. Yeah. It just made sense.
Yeah.
It just made sense what I was doing. So in functional applied science, it is, we are always looking at the body as a unit, and we are finding the leakages of energy.
Yeah.
Wherever the energy leaks, it is what can create an issue, because body works perfectly as a unit where each part has its direction, orientation, speed, and direction.
Yeah.
And they need to work in a synchronized unit. If one part is moving too fast or too slow, that is creating the opposing forces. That opposing force creates an injury.
Yeah.
So understanding that, you can actually influence and correct that movement so that the body works smoothly and again align it properly. So pretty much that's what functional, in a nutshell, what functional applied science is.
Yeah,
yes.
Awesome. Just, you know, before we wrap up, I think, you know, we've gone through some of the main points that we wanted to kind of touch upon with you, the holistic angle, talking about your amazing experience in India as a professional, all the great things that eventually, you know, brought your experience to India. But what are some things, you know, we've talked about from an entrepreneurial angle, we talked about from the user's angle of, you know, making sure that you're listening to your body, making sure that you're listening to your gut. If you had to give like three actionable tips for some of our listeners of things that, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're at, whether you're a beginner, you're intermediate, advanced level, three things that you should always keep in mind on your wellness journey, whether it's meditation, whether it's strength training, whether it's yoga, that, you know, a good way to approach each and every aspect of the holistic wellness angle.
Well, first thing is that you need everything.
Yeah, it can't just be one of it.
You need literally everything. Your body, and there is a space for the deep introspection. There is a space for action.
Yeah.
There is a space for resistance. There is a space for recovery.
Yeah.
You need all of that.
All of them.
That is in different aspects at different points of time. And how do you create your perfect balance? It is your task to do that based on where you're standing. So that is number one. So just doing one thing, it's dangerous because it imbalances you.
Yeah. It could make you worse off than you were.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because you see, if you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Yeah.
And this applies to body, mind and spirit.
And so, yeah.
So not only you need to align your physical body, but you need to align your spiritual, mental, as well as emotional aspects, because they can crush and affect
the other side.
Yeah. Fair right.
enough.
So that is what are you in need more of?
Yeah.
That would be one question. Number two, what is that you want? Once you identify what is that you want, are you ready to do what you need to do no matter what your circumstances are? So are you ready? Because not that somebody has a better potential or a less potential. The difference is in focus. If I put as much effort into something, I can get the same results as somebody else. It's a matter of how much you apply yourself.
Yeah.
So many of people say, oh, I wish to have that kind of body. Okay, fine. Are you ready to work for it? So you're not ready to do, then resolve the conflict.
Yeah.
You cannot want that without being ready to do this.
Do that, yeah.
If you're not ready to do this, then make your peace with the other side.
Yeah.
So to me, it is always about conflict resolution. That if I want to eat a cheesecake,
yeah,
I know that tomorrow I'm going to be heavier in 2 days. Then I can't crib about that.
Yeah.
So we have this that I want that, but I'm not ready to do this. So and then I'm going to crib.
Effort should match the result that you really want to get.
Always. So the second is, what is that you want? It's a choice. It's my choice. If I want to finish a course or a school or get the body I want.
Yeah.
It's not a sacrifice. It is a choice I'm making because that... I want that.
Yeah.
And you need to do what you need to do. Yeah. There is no sacrificial lambs. I'm not sacrificing.
No, there
myself.
Shouldn't be a negative aspect. Absolutely.
I'm choosing to live this path.
Yeah.
So the moment you say choose, you're taking ownership.
Yeah.
And then third, be careful. How do you set your mindset?
Yeah.
If you're looking at it as a struggle, as a difficult, as a huge, as a... You're already setting yourself somewhere, oh my God, I have to push so hard.
Yeah.
If I'm in the environment that is not conducive or supportive of my wishes, and my wishes are big enough, I need to change environment.
Yeah.
Change people around you. Surround yourself
with... Make the change.
Exactly. Surround yourself with the support system that can give you that backing if you're unable. Because most of people who come to me and say, oh, but I can't diet or I can't stay away from drinking because everybody tells me, how can you? You're not enjoying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't need food to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I don't need drinks to enjoy myself. I don't need
that.
I can enjoy myself regardless.
Yeah.
I don't need stimulants to enjoy it. The life is a stimuli enough.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with a supportive mechanism. Clear your energy.
Amazing. I think those are great tips, and actual actionable wise, people should, you know, be able to practice that and get into that if they really want to, you know, get to where they want to go. Vesna, thank you so much for, you know, making the time for us. I've truly really enjoyed having this conversation with you, and I'm sure there's going to be so many things that our listeners... I know personally I've learned a lot from this. our listeners will learn a lot. Where is it that they can get in touch with you? Where can they find you if they want to follow your journey? And also, you know, maybe, you know, follow up on some of the great things that you've talked about here.
My Instagram handle is Vesna Zaltasello. Altasello is Esperanto word, which means higher purpose, because I believe we all are brought to this plane and time with a higher purpose in mind. And the sooner you discover yours, the more fulfilling life you're going to have.
Yeah.
So Vesna Zaltasello, you can get in touch with me or a Facebook page under the same name. My studio is in Kailash Hills. We do there mainly personal one-on-one training with the clients. I also do healing, consulting, and the counseling sessions as well for the clients, because again, to me, it's alignment. So if I notice that any of our clients has a requirement to balance other aspects of life, then we kind of create...
It has to be everything.
Because you see, my spiritual body is not outside my physical body. It influences. So it's not separate. My emotional body is not separate. So it has to be aligned. And sometimes we just need to kind of create that space. So I would be happy, drop me a line, write an email, would love to get in touch. If anybody has any questions, just shoot it, and I can do either a video format or I can just reply to your emails.
Awesome. And all of that information for our listeners will be in our show notes as well. Thank you, Vesna, so much for making the time for us. This
Pleasure.
Has been truly enjoyable.
Pleasure being here. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, that was this week's episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, CastBox, Savan, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness and Instagram and Twitter as TPOW Podcast. And you can check out our website, manchamedia.com. This has been a Mancha Media production. Thanks for listening.